Good morning, everybody. It's just after 10 o'clock, and it's a lovely, beautiful, sunny morning outside in the Lace Market, and I'm sitting in the reception area with David Walker, who's got a really fantastic project in Nottingham, and I fell upon it last week and saw all these renders of, like, 3D mapping of caves, and being an archetypal geek boy who loves all things technology, seeing underground caves being mapped out, I was like, okay, I've got to get David in because we've got caves downstairs. Morning, David.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about the project. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you think so, because I do.
I do,
we've been trying to pull this project together for quite a long time, and it's it came online in about February this year. We're trying to visit as many as possible, and certainly map as many as possible, and survey as many as possible, of Nottingham sandstone caves, of which there are about 500 known around the city, and probably more unknown. Not all of which are still there, some of them have gone, probably about 100 have gone on that number, filled, destroyed blocks one way or another. So that leaves maybe, you know, 400 caves, something like that. Sandstone caves, all man-made, and all beneath the city. And they date back to the very earliest mention we have is about 868 AD. And they run right through until, well, people are still cutting caves now for various reasons, usually garaging and storage, right, and that sort of thing. But, yeah.
So explain to me what kind of tools and what kind of manpower would be required to build these caves out?
Manpower is probably whosoever owns the cave and whoever they can rope into it as well. And tools, up until the 19th century really, they're all hand cut, which would be a man with a pick and a hammer, and you just bang away at the damn thing for as long as it takes. But the great thing about the sandstone, the Nottingham Castle sandstone, as it's known, is it's very, very soft, which means you can carve it. You can carve a small cave with your thumb if you wish. But it's also strong. It's got very few bedding planes, which means it doesn't collapse easily much. So as long as you carve a sort of fairly sensible arch-shaped or dome-shaped structure inside, it's as strong as you like. And this building, as we've just said, has got caves underneath it, and you would never know. There is no structural deficit really. So we have. Soft sandstone, but also very strong sandstone, so it's easy to carve into, and therefore people have. They've exploited it since time immemorial, I guess.
Fantastic. I mean, I looked at your renders of underneath the castle, and I just thought that was amazing. What would the one under the castle be used for? Was it like an escape route, or what was that for?
Yeah, quite a few things over the years, but the main one, Mortimer's Hole, that you looked at, which is, if you like, one of the flagship caves in the city. The legend is that in about 1330, Edward III's troops used it to sneak into the castle and capture and then execute Roger de Mortimer, who was ruling England slightly illegally at the time. The truth of the matter is that it probably wasn't that tunnel that they used, but a different one, the Northwestern Passage, which is now mostly blocked, but we've been into it. So that cave almost certainly was used just as access and... access to the castle from the Brewhouse Yard area, where the River Leen ran in the medieval period, and right up until the middle of the 19th century, the Leen, which is the river on which Nottingham was built originally, runs right along the bottom of the Castle Rock, and so that would have been used fairly prosaically for carting barrels and food and God knows what else up from little boats and barges on the Leen up to the castle.
Fantastic. I mean, to me, it's just, I don't know about yourself, but you must be absolutely over the moon about being able to go into these places. I mean, you've got some wonderful technology that you're working with now. What sort of timescales to do this mapping does it take?
Well, the project's 2 years, and in that time we hope to do about 100 caves, something like that. We did a pilot early last year two pilots with two different laser scanners, and laser scanner technology has come on tremendously in the last 10 years or so. We've got a Leica HDS 6100, which is a phased-based laser scanner, and can produce a 360 horizontal by about 320 vertical dome of survey points, and it does it at a speed of about 500,000 points a second.
I read this. That is insane.
It is. It's ridiculously fast. And I find that the technology also quite exciting. And certainly when you think of the sort of, the clock timing and so forth that must be in there to be able to do that and record, 500,000 points in a second, to sort of 2 mil accuracy, something like that, is pretty phenomenal. So that technology allows us to do it. And using that, we take photographs as well and overlay those. We aim to do one cave per day in terms of being on site, and depending on the size of the cave, we're sometimes up to 2 days, and some of them are huge. We did the Peel Street Caves recently, which is a sand mine at the back of Mansfield Road. Nobody's been down there for about 15 years. It's a huge complex. It was 8 days surveying, which is massive, 100 scan positions, and I've not even calculated how many billions of points, that is, of survey points. But that's going to look lovely once it's rendered.
Oh my god, a couple of weeks.
So I mean also, like, how do you manage to do the rendering? So I understand sort of the positioning of the cave, but then how do you do this sort of geospatial stuff where it's underground?
We traverse. We can only survey caves that that we can get to, that we can physically get to, and we traverse. So we tend to start, at the bottom of the cave and work our way out. So a number of scan positions. So if we're scanning in this building, we'd do one or two in the cave, and then we'd have to come up your steps and through your hall and out the front door, and then we can survey the front of the building, which would have a bit of the front of this building and a bit of front of the St Mary's Church, and Stony Street and so forth, and from that we can get a nice big picture.
You can extrapolate the positioning of
absolutely yes yeah okay. and we can georeference with GPS as well, so we've got real ordnance survey coordinates for every one of those billions of survey points.
Well, David, I am absolutely sort of fascinated by it all, to be honest, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what feedback you get from the cave today. Hello, Nick.
Hello, you all right?
Nick has joined us and given me a stare as if to say, don't get me on, I don't need to be on this interview. We're heading down into the cave. David, thank you very much.
No problem.
And we'll go down into the cave.
Okay.